I like hearing the songs and the messages in the songs. They're a blessing to my heart. How about you? I enjoy that. I thank the Lord that we have the kind of music that expresses the truth of the Word of God. And when people are singing, we can be edified, built up, lifted up. Church for, isn't it? Worth worshiping the Lord over as we gather together. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to read just a few verses there and make reference to one verse in Psalm, one of the Psalms. And I just want to challenge you tonight in this matter of Bible study, Bible reading. I believe that I hold in my hand the very Word of God. Amen. What about the Bible you have with you tonight? Hold your Bibles up a minute. Take them in your hand and lift them up real high. I want to see who doesn't have one. No, never mind. That's good. We're a Bible-believing church. Everybody just about looks like it's got a Bible. We believe this book. We really do. We believe it is God's Word. And you know, it's no problem for Almighty God who created the earth to preserve a word and bring it to his people in a modern day and still have the word pure. And it's a very vital and important thing to us. And we ought to love the Bible. I love my Bible. I love my Bibles. But I love the Bible that I have in my hand at any time. I love it. Sometimes I like to just caress it to my chest and hold it there a little bit and let my heart beat and just say, I just love your word, O God. I love the word of God. There's nothing in the world I'd rather read than the Bible. I do a lot of other kind of reading and so on and so forth. Not a lot of variety in it. Some. But I like to read about the word of God, and I like to read the word of God. Nehemiah, on an occasion, they gathered the people together, and they had registered the genealogies and a number of those things. And in chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now go to verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershatha, let me say that right, Tershatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And the words of the law, that's the only Bible they had in that day. That's like our Bible today. They had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had the word of the law. And so when they were reading, they were so moved. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be you grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Back in verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Isn't it great to think that there was a group of people, a large gathered group of people who were excited that they got up and just read the Bible to them. Just reading the Bible. When a preacher gets up, no matter where I am, and they give the text and they start reading the Bible, I love to follow word for word, go right along with it and see, even while they're reading it, if God's going to say something to me while they're reading the text. And oftentimes, God does. The psalmist said in 138 and verse 2 these words, "Thou hast magnified thy word, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." That's a lot of magnification. God says, I have magnified this word above my name. That means it's important. This is an important book in our lives. It ought to be the most important and be given the most visible place in your home. It should be that if anybody comes in your home, they're going to see the Word of God somehow as one of the main things as far as literature is concerned in your house. We ought to have the Bible preeminent in our lives and even physically, so that it represents the position and the importance that we give to the Word of God in our home. A lot of people have family Bibles. They don't know what to do with them. Well, get you a nice little table, put it right there where people come in your front door, put it right in the middle, put some tracts on either side. Whoever rings the doorbell, knocks on your door, or comes in, you're ready, and they can see the Bible and know that you're a Christian, probably, maybe figure from that, and know that the Word of God is important to you. Then you can give them a tract and tell them about Jesus. Amen? The Word of God is so important. And we need to study the Word of God. We don't need to just read it. Although reading it helps, we need to study the Word of God. We are commanded to study the Word of God. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. Rightly dividing it. There's a wrong division of it, and there's a right division of it, and we must rightly divide the Word of God. That means we're going to have to spend some time in it. To rightly divide it, you've got to study it. You've got to study it on purpose. You've got to put it in the budget of your time. You've got to plan it that way in your life. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, we can either be in God's will or out of God's will. It's up to us. But if we're not studying the Word of God, we're out of God's will. Right? Do you think that's a command that God gave us? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I believe that's a divine imperative. I don't believe that's a little suggestion. I believe our Holy Father, who loves us, and He knows what's good for us. He knows what we need. And He says, study the Word of God. Spend some time studying the Word of God. And if we're in God's will, it's not optional. It ought to be careful study. He said in verse 8 that they read in the book in the law of God distinctly. We need to study it distinctly. We need to be very careful as we study the Bible. We invest money in all kinds of things in the world, have not a hill of beans worth of eternal value to them. We ought to invest in helps and things that will give us the ability to understand the Word of God better. That's a great investment. Spend some time in the bookstore. Spend some time down at a Christian store. Be careful what you buy. Be sure you sort of know what they stand for. And if you have any doubts, you might ask some of the staff or some of those that are your leaders in Sunday school, and they can give you some good recommended items to help you out, so you can study the Word of God. Have a concordance. Nowadays, we have computers that give you a shave and a haircut for 2 bits. I mean, they can do anything. And I have a computer that I can turn around, and some people make fun of it and laugh at the fact that, oh, we don't read the Bible anymore, we have these things. Look, there are a lot of aids and a lot of helps and a lot of things that are available to us to help us to better understand the Word of God. Use them. God gave them to us to be used. Study the Word of God and study it carefully. A lot of times we read the Bible too fast. We say, I got to read 10 chapters a day. We read through them and say, I marked that, and we get through the end, and we get our certificate, and we say, I read through the Bible again. Study. There's nothing wrong with reading through the Bible. It's a good thing to do. But if it takes you 2 years, don't worry about it. And if you don't want to read Genesis through Revelation, don't worry about it. Start where God impresses you. Read there. Study the Word of God. Get in the book and let the Word of God get in our hearts. That's what God wants us to do. Spend some money to help us out in these areas. It takes time. Not just Sunday. I'm going to tell you, you could go in a lot of homes tonight, and other than the Bibles that they bring to church with them, you'll find their Bibles. If you blow on those Bibles, you'd start a dust storm. They're just lying there. They're not being read. They're not being studied. Everybody pretty much has a Bible. Teenagers have a Bible. Boys and girls have a little Bible. We give out little Bibles, little blue ones to little baby boys and little pink ones to little girls. And one of the miracles of our church is when they're 2 months old, they can read those Bibles. I mean, that's great, you know. But we do believe it's a token and a symbol of the fact that there ought to be that respect there in those homes. And we don't need to just study the Bible on Sunday when the preacher's preaching. Some people don't even do that. But it's a good thing to get a pen out and a pencil out and a pad and some of those things and jot down some notes. I can ask some of you Monday morning what I preached tonight, and half of you wouldn't have a foggiest idea. And you might say, well, you preached, I think you preached from the Bible, didn't you? Because you're a Bible preacher. Yeah, I did preach from the Bible. What did I preach about? I don't know, something about reading your Bible. Well, what were the points? What were the things that are involved? Take those things home sometimes. Use them for your devotions. Follow through with it. And not just come and say, well, I paid my dues. I went to church. I heard the preacher preach. That's what you're supposed to do. And I went home, went out to eat, went to the house, had a good time, had good fellowship. What did the preacher preach about? Well, let's see now. Let me think a while. We ought to listen intently. We ought to take mental notes and many times write in our Bible. It is not a sin to write in your Bible. That's not adding to or taking away if you erase it. It is not a sin to write in your Bible. Everybody ought to have a marked up Bible, I think. Amen. Just mark it up. Now, you may already know everything. I've met a few Baptists. They look at you like a cow looks at a new gate, calf does, and says, you telling me I know all this stuff. I don't need to take notes of you, preacher. Well, then why don't you go get your church and pastor? You got so much knowledge. Just get out there and help somebody else out. Amen. I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying, if you've got all that knowledge, maybe you ought to be out there preaching somewhere. And you know everything already. Surely we all don't. I've been preaching for a long time, and when I go to a fellowship meeting or where preachers are preaching, I take a pad and a pencil and my Bible and a yellow marker, a highlighter, and a pen, and I mark and I write, and I get information, illustrations, and they're a blessing to me. And I take them home and file them by text. And when I get ready to study that text, I pull out that file and get all that information. And their information's usually better than mine. I like to use their stick to whip the devil with. And their illustrations many times are better than I could find. And why not use them, amen? Use them for the glory of God. Not just on Sunday morning. But, if a student is a student in school and they pick up a geometry book, there's something important about you studying that book if you're going to do what the teacher wants you to do and pass the test when they give those tests, those pop tests and those midterm tests and those finals that you get at the end of that semester or that period of time, whatever it is. We have to do that daily homework. Nobody likes homework. We need to spend some time in the Word of God. Have some time for the Word of God. It is necessary. Why? Well, it's necessary for discernment. That's a point you can remember this week. It's necessary to know the Word of God for discernment. How are you going to know what's right and wrong? You got to know this book. I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of junk out there. There's a lot of theology that's bad. There's a lot of trash, a lot of baloney that's out there. Now, who's right? Who's right? They all dress alike. You know, you got to preacher up there preaching. He's got a tie and suit on, and maybe he's got a Hickey Freeman suit, about a $600 suit and a pocket puff, and he looks holy, and he's got alligator shoes with big pointed toes on it, and man's got to be holy, amen? Not necessarily. He may get up and tell you, man, God wants you to be happy and prosperous. And you know I say a lot about that. God wants all these great things to happen to you, and it's just all cream and apple pie, and everything's always sweet, and there are no problems. And if you're living right, you'll never run into any difficulties. Baloney. You better check that out in this book. You see, we've got to know the book in order to know what kind of junk is coming down the pike or over the television. And if you don't know, you're going to get messed up. And that's why we need to study the Word of God. A college professor took two ingredients, stirred them up, mixed them up in a beaker, put his finger in that, and put it in his mouth. And then the students, he said, now I want you to do the same thing. They did that, put it in their mouth, and they just like lemons had gone in their mouth, or green persimmons. How many of you ever have one of those in your mouth? If you had an older brother, you did. Because I did. And they always made sure that they initiated you with those green persimmons. And but these students, their mouth just almost curled up. And they was like, what in the world happened? He said, I want to teach you a lesson. You did not watch like you should have watched me. I stuck one finger in the beaker and another finger in my mouth. And that's why I never frowned and why I never puckered. And so it is that we better be intent as we read and watch and hear and listen to what people are saying in the Word of God. I don't mind if somebody comes and asks me, preacher, I didn't quite understand that. Could you enlighten me a little bit more on that? That wouldn't disturb me, because I ought to know what I'm preaching. I ought to know why I'm preaching it. I should be able to defend what I'm preaching. If I can't defend what I'm preaching, then I'm in trouble. And I need to be able to defend what I'm saying. And to the best of my ability, I want to know the Word of God so that I can preach the truth to people as they are. Many times, even independent Baptists, people who have been born and raised in fundamental Baptist churches, get all messed up on doctrine and get all they just get blown out of proportion with some of the things that come out there that are contrary to the Word of God. I'm thinking about preaching a series of messages about out-of-body experiences. You hear all kinds of things that contradict the Word of God, and people think that everybody's going to heaven because when they just about die, they see a white light and it's peaceful. You better not be deceived by that. I've had people tell me that's how they knew they were saved, because they almost died and they saw a white light. Well, ring-a-ling-ling. What does that tell us from the Word of God? Nothing. What I'm just saying is we'll be a sucker for anything that comes. That's why people get mixed up on tongues. They don't read the Bible and study the Bible. I bet you that, I wager you that 75% of you people, if somebody walked up to you tonight and said, do you believe in tongues? And you said, no, I do not. And they said, well, show me in the Bible. Show me what the Bible says about it. And show me why you don't believe in speaking in tongues, unknown languages, unintelligible utterances. I can't even utter the unintelligible utterances. Why in the world? What would you do? What would you tell them? You'd say, well, I know the preacher said. The preacher said, no, you ought to know what the Bible says. You ought to be able to go over there to the Word of God in Corinthians and go down and see what gifts were permanent, what gifts were not, what the Bible says about it. Know the tense of the words. Know that when he's talking about when that which is perfect has come, we don't need those things. And that is the gender of that has to do with the Word of God. It is neuter gender. It's not talking about all these other things. It's talking about when the Bible has come. We've got it, my friend. You don't need all this other stuff. Amen. And we think we're missing something. They're holy. And I'm not mocking and making fun of these people. I'm just, some of them are very sincere people, and some of them are saved. Some of them are of the devil. Some of it's of the devil. And witchcraft, they speak in tongues. Big deal. Many of the others that practice some of these far out stuff, things, they speak in tongues. That doesn't prove anything. And they are wrong. They may be saved, but doctrinally they are wrong about that. That does not prove that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot find that in the Word of God. When Peter preached, and you look in your Bible, I don't want to get off on this subject, I'll miss my main subject tonight, but you get off on that, and you'll see some things italicized when it says unknown in your Bible, because the translators added that. And what the word is, glossolalia, languages, it was languages that could be understood. Then the miracle was those people from all over the world could hear it and understand it in their language, and God had them all there for Passover, and they went back to their homelands and they preached the gospel that they had heard that day. The miracle of tongues. We think we're missing something. Don't ever feel like you're missing something. If some charismatic comes up to you and tells you that you just haven't, some of you missed it, some of you caught it. You were listening. You were listening intently. Brother Wiley, you were listening intently. Thank you, my brother. But when some of them come around and they try to make you feel like you're about this high because, have you spoken in tongues? Tell them, yeah. Been doing it a long time. They'll leave you alone. You've been speaking in English, haven't you? That's one of them. These people that come and try to teach that you can lose your salvation, you cannot lose your salvation. Don't let the devil or any other denomination tell you you can lose your salvation. Stay in the Word of God. Know the Word of God. The best way to tell what counterfeit is to handle the real money. And they say that J. Edgar Hoover could blindfold his men and he'd let them handle false money, and because they'd handled the good money so much, he made them handle it all the time, feel it like that and handle it. And when they would feel counterfeit, they'd say, man, that's counterfeit. That's what we need to do with this book. We need to be so used to it, to know it so well, to get in it, to stay in it, to know what the Bible says, that we know the cardinal doctrines of the faith and all the things that branch off of that, so that whenever somebody comes up with these other things that are wrong, we'll recognize it. We ought to. Preachers should not have to babysit a lot of people. New converts, yes. But people who have been saved very long, you ought to know this stuff. You ought to have literature and study and have been taught and have been preached to and have been trained and spent some time on your own to say, I know what that's all about, I understand it, I'm not worried about it, I'm moving on for the glory of God. It's also necessary for personal growth, for discernment, for personal growth. We'll never grow if we don't eat. Now some of us have been eating too much and we're really growing. Well, that doesn't change the reality of the fact that if you don't eat, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. And we've got to eat. And we have to study the Word of God. We need a diet of holy things, a diet of the Word of God. If we're going to have spiritual growth, we've got to spend time in this book. We just got to. Just got to. Young people, if you ever expect to be a young person who really is on fire for God and really knows the difference and really knows how to handle the junk that comes at you, and some of the teachers that are not Christians maybe are out there in the college, you need to know this book. And that'll help you out down the road. It's also necessary for holiness. What does God want us to do? How do we know? Am I living a holy life? How do you determine whether you're living a holy life? Well, I look at him and I look at her. That might be a bad mistake. You don't live a holy life by comparison. You live a holy life by knowing what God says is holiness. And whatever God says is holy and is right. That's holiness. And we line up with what God says is holy. And when we line up with what God says is holy, then we can live a holy life. Now we ought to want to live a holy life. Amen. Oh me. I had 5 people said amen. We ought to want to live a holy life. Well, the other 95% of you get right. I know you. Were you listening intently? That was a question. How many of you think we ought to live a holy life? Say amen. 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 The Bible teaches we ought to live a holy life. How are we going to know what holiness is if we don't spend a lot of time in the book? And then we'll come to realize what it is. We'll know what God expects. We have too much of this. Well, now, preacher, in my opinion, I don't care about your opinion unless it's backed up by this. I could care less about your opinion unless it's backed up by the Bible. Well, in my opinion, or my way of thinking, preacher, my way of seeing this, my way, we don't care about your way. I don't care about my way. I care about God's way. The Holy Book tells us the right way. And I don't care if your grandma and grandpa told you it was all right. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. It's just flat out wrong. So, it's not that. It's also necessary for evangelistic fervor. If you're going to care for the lost, you know why a lot of people don't care for the lost? They don't stay in the book. You can't stay in this book without getting burdened for lost people. Got quiet, didn't it? You cannot. We cannot stay in this book. I don't believe that I can stay in this book without having a burden for people who are going to hell. I just don't believe so. I can't read the first part of the book of Acts, as we had in our Sunday school lessons, more without understanding and realizing that the power of the Holy Spirit was given so that people might have the opportunity to escape hell and go to heaven. And the Bible is just replete and saturated with the truth about that. And we stay in the Word of God, it's going to disturb us. Necessary for evangelistic fervor. If you want to have care for the lost and have the love for the lost and know what hell is really like. Hell is a horrible place. You've heard me say that many, many times. Every time I think about hell, my stomach just almost turns. I think of somebody that I love or know that might die and go to hell. Somebody that I've been witnessing to. I have some people right now on my prayer list I'm praying for. I want to see them saved so badly. Some of them are not necessarily real sweet people. Some of them are very decent, moral people. Visited some of them yesterday. I want to see them saved. I want to see them come to Christ. And I'm sure all of us have somebody like that. It's also necessary for faith. Standing on the promises. You know, we sing that song. A lot of Baptists don't even know what the promises are. How in the world can you stand on the promises until you know what they are? That's the reason a lot of them are nervous and floating through life, all worried and troubled, and they can't get it all together, and everything just seems to be out of socket. It's because we've got to stand on the promises. You stand on the promises, you'll be encouraged. You stand on the promises, you'll go forward. You stand on the promises, you'll get the job done, because you're not going by emotions. You're saying, I'm standing on the promises of this book. But you got to know what they are before you can stand on them. What are the promises of God? I don't have time to preach that whole message. You're looking at me funny already. But at any rate, I know it's about time to go to khakis. Yeah, we're close to that. I'm just picking at you, folks. What are some things, very quickly, that keep us from really studying the Bible? What are some things? Are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. What are some things, because this is important, this is God's Word. They wept. They read it to them distinctly and they cried and wept and said, oh, we're so glad we got the book. And what are some things that keep us from this book? Would it surprise you to know that there is a character somewhere in this world that would keep you from this book, and his name is Satan? If he can keep you out of the book, he can whip you. He can whip you all over the place, like we used to say down Louisiana, and whoop you everywhere, boy. The devil can whoop up on you. He can whip you if you don't stay in the book. And he fights you from getting in the book. Doesn't matter what it is, he's going to fight you and try to keep you from getting in the book. How many times have I started for my Bible and all hell broke loose? Or the phone calls from salespeople. Don't you love them? I'm glad we have caller ID. If you call me and I don't want to talk to you, I just look and say, I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to talk to him. Here, Carolyn, talk to them. No. We have the Word of God. Satan fights it. Another thing that will keep you from this book is sin. I mean, why would you want to live in sin and then pick up the book? You know, I'd advise you to go ahead and do it because it may be the source to get you back right with God, even if you're out of God's will. But, you know, the best thing to do is to read the Word of God, and if there's sin, let it convict your heart and immediately do something about it. Now, most of the time we sort of already know about it because the Spirit of God's already pricked our heart about it. But there are some things we're reading and all of a sudden God says, now look, I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you. Listen. You're bitter and angry with somebody? Get it out of your life. The Bible says so. Amen? The Bible says the way to handle it is not to fuss and fight and not get along. But the Bible says the way to handle it, if you got something against your brother and it's really bugging you, go to them, tell them, get it right. And then if they'll get it right with you, fine. If not, take somebody else with you. If not, let the church handle it. But the Bible says the best thing for you to do is forgive people. Just forgive them. Go on about your business. Let God take care of it. Vengeance is mine. You know, how do we know? Well, we read the Word of God. Sin. There's some very practical things. Those are pretty general, but very practical. One of them, I'm going to tell you, is television. Thank you, Dr. Rice. Yeah, television. How many of you knew Dr. Rice? All right, a few of you. Jay, you with me? Yeah, okay. I see you smiling. You knew Dr. Rice. But I'm telling you the truth. Television and entertainment and gizmos and toys and games and all those other stuff. Ryan and Drake, I'm not going to get on to you. Scared them to death when I called their name. We were riding into church this morning. They were talking this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that. And I looked at my wife. I said, those guys are from outer space. I don't even know what they're talking about. Some of those games, some of those names, some of those things. I said, I don't know what they're talking about. What in the world are those things? I need to get some of that. You know, and see if I can be entertained. But they're all right. I'm not against any of those things. I've done the Wii and all that. I played golf with Wii and bowl with Wii and like that. I'm telling you what, I boxed with Wii. You ought to see Ms. Weaver box with Wii. Son, you hadn't been blessed. She beat me 3 times in a row in front of my kids and grandkids. Whip me. Beg your pardon. What did you say?
That I knocked you.
Yeah. She'd been wanting to do that for years. She finally got it done with we. And I like all that stuff. It's all right. It's nice. Innovative stuff, new stuff, all that stuff. But my friend, don't let it take your Bible reading time.
Amen.
There's no program good enough, not enough of them out there, most of them aren't anyway, to keep you, should not keep you from. It's so easy just to plop in the easy chair and turn the TV on. Most of us have more blisters from the remote control than we do thumbprints on our Bible from reading the Word of God. We don't let television and all of that. Ladies, during the daytime, I don't even know. I used to know the names of those programs. There was just a few of them. As the World Turns, As the World Spurns, As the World Yearns, As the Stomach Turns. That's my favorite one. That's about right with all of them. As the Stomach Turns. This message is really getting out of hand, isn't it? But I'm having a blast. I'm having a ball. But that's true. But we get all wrapped up in that, and people know more about the young and the restless than they do God's Word. We need to know the Word of God. Recreation will pull you away from the Word of God. We play so much ball. We know what the ball is and the weight of the ball and how big the ball is and how fast he's throwing, what the records are and all this. Football, softball, volleyball, kickball, punchball, catchball, I don't know, all kinds of ball. But we need to know the book. I'm not against those things. If I was younger, I'd still be playing softball for the church. But I wised up. Now I play Wii. It's a lot easier. don't hurt myself quite as bad. I'm beginning to wonder if I should be playing that. But we let hobbies, we let recreation, and I'm not just trying to be negative, but these are true things. We let grandkids, we let activities, we let secular clubs, other organizations take up so much of our time, politics. Politics. I think we ought to be involved and try to do the best we can and try to get the right people in office. But I don't think we ought to go to such an extent that we just spend all of our time in it. We don't have time for the Bible anymore. Secular clubs, pursuit. One of the greatest things is a pursuit of materialism. Got to make that money. Just got to make that money. Whatever time it takes, whatever's involved. I just don't have time to read the Word of God. Why? I'm making money. What are you going to do with that money when you die? I'm going to leave it. You're right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? Nobody's going to care much about it one way or the other. They'll have your funeral and buy the cheapest casket out there if they can get away with it and have you out of there in no time. Some wouldn't do that, but some would. Believe me, I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. Making that money so you think everybody would be impressed. Nobody cares what kind of car you drive much. We buy a bigger car to impress our relatives, and they look at it, and they don't even... You can drive up at Christmas in your brand new car, and they can walk by 10 or 15 of them. They won't even say, "Hey, I like your new car," because they really don't care that much. And people don't like you or love you because of what you have. If they do, man, that's bad. They like you, they love you, they care for you, not because of what you have. By the way, parents, you shouldn't just love and be accepting of your children just because of all that great achievement materially and educationally. There ought to be some spiritual stuff thrown in there. All of that. We have a pursuit of materialism to the point that some people work two jobs. Everybody's working, the kids are working, everybody else is working, so we can have these things. And yet we don't know the Word of God. We don't spend time in the Word of God. We don't need to revise this book. We don't even need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. Amen. And it'll tell us what we need to know. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. And I want to ask you tonight, have you gotten away from a good, steady, planned on purpose reading of the Word of God? If so, would you ask God tonight to forgive you and make a commitment to Him that by His grace, you'll not let all these things interfere and some that God spoke to your heart about that even name. And you'll say, "I want to get back in the book. More time in the book. Spend more time with God. Spending time in this precious book that God has honored above His name, my friend, is something of great importance. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God." Father, bless us and help us. Thank you. The Bible tells us how to be saved. That if somebody would come to Christ, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and admit they are a sinner and be willing to turn and from their old life to Christ, trust Him as Savior, that they can be redeemed even here, right now, tonight. God, help us to love the book, to love it, love it, love it. Oh God, help us to not let other things interfere with our time. Help us to plan some time, to set aside some time, work toward that every day. We would know the book, that it would help us in all these areas I've talked about tonight and more. Speak to us about it, God. Help us to make some commitments tonight and renew some commitments about reading the book. In Jesus' name we pray.